And just a quick refresher for anyone who doesn't remember the whole of that story. So when Jacob, who was a scoundrel, was appointed by God to become Israel, the anchor of the entire promise of God's, or the tradition of God's promise, Jacob, to become Israel, married two different women. One was the one he wanted, and the first one he married was actually the one he didn't want so much. But she was more fertile. She had all these kids. And then the one that he always had wanted to marry, he had to work an extra 7 years to get her. She only had two children for him, and one of those was Joseph. And Joseph was a jerk. He was his father's favorite. And I know that parents don't play favorites, but he clearly was his father's favorite, and his brothers did not like him for that. And so they found an opportunity to go ahead and sell him to some people who were coming by. So they sold him into captivity, into slavery, and he went down into Egypt. And by a number of turns of events, he became the most powerful person in all of Egypt. And then there was one of the things that made him so powerful is he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And in Pharaoh's dream, there was promise of 7 years of abundance that was going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And because Joseph was able to interpret the dream, Pharaoh was able to tax the rich, so there would be money for, there'd be enough food for everybody later. And so as a result, everybody was making it through the famine. And as this was unfolding, Joseph's brothers came down to ask for food. And Joseph saw them and was kind of glad and was kind of a jerk and played some games with them, but eventually gave them what they needed. And the passage that Connie read is when Joseph reveals to his brothers that he is, in fact, Joseph, who they had sold into slavery so very many years ago, probably 20, 30 years, at least 20, maybe 30, maybe more. So he, and I guess isn't it a story for all of us? The way we never actually anticipated, we never really thought about getting ourselves into the position in life that we're at right now, but here we are. And being exactly who we are and where we are, we either have, some of us have abilities to be generous and to reach out and meet needs, to provide for those who otherwise would be hungry. And others of us have the ability to be people who are needed or who do need and who are able to help others fulfill their humanity by allowing them to be generous. It's this kind of most beautiful way of understanding creation. It's really what God had intended to communicate with us in that first, second creation story. When Adam stood a human being, but it wasn't enough, that he needed a helper to allow him to discover what it really meant to be human. He needed someone who would help him, even as he was the person who would help her, would help the other, that we were created to be in community where we have both need and resource, and where we reach across to be one another's helper. So that's kind of where What I just love about that passage, and I could actually talk about Joseph. I bet I could preach on Joseph's story for months and months. It's a great story, a biblical story. However, where we're at today is we have Jesus in his what's known as the Sermon on the Plain. So in Matthew's gospel, we have the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus goes up on a hillside. In Luke's gospel, Jesus actually has these teachings. They take place on what is known as a level place. And so we have this passage before us in 6, beginning in verse 27, where Jesus just talks to the people about what it means to be human. So here now, the word of God is Jesus speaks to the, there we go, the wrong paper. Okay, so as Jesus just talks to the people who showed up, a lot of people who showed up there on the plain to hear his message. So we're starting in verse 27. And Jesus says, I say to all of you who will listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And if anyone takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much in return. But love your enemies, do good and lend, and expect nothing in return. And then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of Moses, of the Most High. For it is said that he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For the measure that you give will be the measure that you receive. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. I'm just going to start with a little different illustration, but in class this morning, I was actually reminded of one of the things that I did in my life, of which I am really proud. I must have been, I don't know, 15, 16 years old. And the neighbor's dog, the neighbors had a chain link fence, and the neighbor's dog had decided that he wanted to go over that fence. And so as he tried to jump to get over the fence, he didn't make it, but he managed to get his paw caught up in a space in the chain link fence. And so this dog was hanging by one of his paws, his feet not quite reaching the ground, and he was terrified, and I'm sure it was very painful. So the dog started crying, as you would expect a dog to do. And so I hear this, and it was people who worked, both the husband and wife worked. There was nobody home. And so I went over, I got into their yard, I saw the dog in this situation, and I knew for sure that the dog needed help, and I knew pretty reasonably that the dog was not going to be really celebrating the fact that I was showing up and trying to help. So I went to the dog, I grabbed it, I lifted it up, and as I lifted the dog up enough so that it could get its paw free, or I should get its paw free, the dog was in terror and pain and started chewing on my arm. You know, and so I got the dog released, but I had a very bloody, mangled arm to show for it. It wasn't bad enough that I needed stitches, but I remember that. You know, it's like, it was certainly the right thing to do to help this creature that was in need. And I wish that every time you help somebody who's in need, it comes back and the people are just tremendously grateful. And you get thanked appropriately and you get to be the center of your own drama and you get to be the hero. But in real life, people who are in need are oftentimes in a lot of pain. They're under a lot of stress. They're terrified. They don't exactly know what to do or how to do it. And oftentimes a combination of stress and anxiety and exhaustion and fear leads to people being maybe a little less than appealing. Maybe the person that you're resourcing strikes out and actually hurts you in the process of doing the right thing. And Jesus says, love that person who thinks they're your enemy. Love that person who you think is your enemy. Because in doing so, you're acting exactly as God created you to be. That in real life, things are complicated. In real life, people are terribly complicated. In real life, people have needs, and their needs must be met. And hopefully, we are those people, we are that community that can pull together and find ways to look through the damage and find the humanity that exists in the brother or sister that is put in our lives at this moment. It's interesting that in finding this way to be exactly who God made us to be, we discover something really profound and precious about our own selves, that the reward doesn't come from the dog that doesn't bite. The reward comes from the internal knowledge that in providing assistance, I found my own humanity. And in finding my own humanity, I am made more full. The illustration I wanted to start with was one that some of you have heard before. I was with my my brother Mark. We were both pretty young, but he hadn't even finished high school yet. And we were up in Seattle, and there was a man in a wheelchair. And I had trained myself to not embarrass people who are in wheelchairs, you know, and to not stare. And I became so good at not staring that I learned to not even look. And I was really happy to have that person be perfectly invisible to me. And so we're standing on the street corner with this man who's in a wheelchair, and all of a sudden, my little brother says, "Wow, that's a really cool chair." And he says, "Those are da-da-da wheels." It's like, "Wow, that's like a sport chair, isn't it?" It's like, "Are you a competitor? Why do you?" And he and this man had this most marvelous conversation, because the man was, in fact, a special needs athlete, And he had this wheelchair that was so tricked out that it was really spectacular. And a thing happened on that street corner. A person who had really become rather accustomed to being invisible was seen as a human being with a disability and was met on the human stage by another human being who happened to know things about fancy wheels. And in that moment, there was a human connection that was stunningly beautiful. And I think about the people that Mike and Associated Ministries serve and how easy it is to think of those people as those people. And how easy it is to kind of diminish humanity across definitions. And how hard it is to remember that God gave us the ability to name what it means. And if I name somebody as unworthy, then I live my life as if that person is unworthy. And I extinguish that person's humanity, and in so doing, I extinguish my own humanity. But if instead I name the person as a person who is in a wheelchair, but is also energized about his or her own life, who is also very involved in community, who is part of a network, if I can see the humanity behind my definition, then there is a place where we come together across emptiness and brokenness. And we find our humanity, we claim another's humanity, and a thing of beauty is created and restored. This is what Jesus wants for us. May we judge with open hearts and see the wholeness of people that we so often fail to recognize. Let us pray. So, Lord, we thank you for Joseph and his family and his ability to be there to provide for the needs of his sisters and brothers. And thank you for the way that you have shaped our lives, that we can be there for one another, that we can be there to be in need of companionship, and sometimes in need of groceries, sometimes in need of a phone call and the various needs that we have. And Lord, sometimes we can be people who provide for the needs of others. Allow us to be as generous as is your creation. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.